Americans are on the move again. Pent-up travel desire after COVID restrictions has apparently broken out in a big way. In fact, over the holiday weekend, the TSA screened a record number of travelers, and that doesn't even include the folks who hit the roads or took a cruise. But travel doesn't come without a few hiccups. Travel delays, canceled flights, gas is expensive, vehicles are too. And even if you find a car you like, the risk of having your catalytic converter stolen is bigger than ever. Thefts of those parts have shot up more than 700% over the past 4 years. We talk about the ups and downs of our passion for motion. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to Fox 11 News In Depth. I think it's fair to say that there's been a dramatic increase in the theft of catalytic converters. Some unfortunate vehicle owners have had their catalytic converters stolen twice, three times, or even more times. Is there anything that can be done about this to stem the epidemic? That's what we want to talk about. And should it happen to you, what do you do? Doug Shoup joining us from the Auto Club of Southern California. And also Commander Ricardo Hernandez, DMV supervising investigator. Thanks to both of you. And I guess I want to start with Doug here because he's sitting right next to me here in the studio. And, where are we on this problem? Why is it getting worse?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me in here today. What a frustrating problem this has been. And it's just progressively getting worse year after year. And it kind of really started spiking during the pandemic when there were fewer people heading into the office to head to work. And so they were leaving their cars and trucks just parked out on public streets for long periods of times. And thieves took advantage of that. They looked for those crimes of opportunity, and they found value in stealing catalytic converters because of the precious metals that are inside.
And we've heard of the problem before, but now we're seeing it going up again. And let me ask the commander, why do you think it might be going up?
As the your other host participant there said, some of the reasons why catalytic converter theft is going up is because, again, it's an easy crime. A lot of these catalytic converters are not marked or etched. They are not identifiable. So when law enforcement finds them, they're not able to know who the owner of the catalytic converter is. And then also the precious metals are very valuable, which make it ideal for catalytic converter thieves to target.
They're targeting them for the precious metals. And I guess the other piece of this is that they're easy to get to because I have a personal experience with this. My son has a Prius. They hit him twice. And they get underneath in the middle of the night, clip it off, take it away. What can we do about this?
Well, I'll tell you, first off, the Toyota Priuses are one of the most commonly targeted vehicles because they have more of those precious metals in those vehicles. The other vehicles, fleet vehicles, because thieves can get a bunch of catalytic converters in one spot. And then high-profile vehicles, vans and trucks, because they're easier to get under.
Now, one of the things I know that we're doing, and the commander is a part of this operation, is a task force, right, Commander? Can you explain to that to us? You're a task force that goes out, and you're not dealing with the people stealing. You're dealing with the people buying.
Absolutely. The task force is the Vehicle Dismantler Industry Strike Team. It's a task force that DMV Investigations is the head of. There's several agencies that we collaborate with and work with, that being California Environmental Protection Agency, Cal EPA, the Department of Toxic Substances and Control, DTSC, CDTFA, California Department of Tax and Fee Assessment, Cal Recycle, Air Resources Board, and the State Water Resource Control Board. And what we do is we go out there and target some of these unlicensed businesses, unlicensed dismantlers that often buy a lot of the stolen catalytic converters.
There was a big bust of vehicle repair shops in the Inland Empire last year. 28 people in that situation, arrested and investigated. And so tell me, does something like that make a dent, or is it just sort of like an exercise in futility?
Well, actually, at the DMV, our job is to really focus on making a difference. And that's what we're trying to do with the strike team, is do our part to protect the citizens of the state of California. And what we can do with VITIS is really go out there and target and really educate some of these businesses to bring them into compliance, to make sure that they are following all the laws and regulations related to automobile dismantling, and then the purchasing of some of these parts as well.
You know, Doug, as we look at some of this video and we see these catalytic converters, they all look the same.
Yeah,
there's nothing to distinguish one from another. And so, you know, what if we did have something like a VIN number engraved on it, or we painted it neon yellow, you know?
Absolutely. Those are two steps that consumers can take to hopefully identify that piece of your vehicle. You know, etch the license plate number or the vehicle identification number. As you said, paint it a bright color to make it more, visible, a visible deterrent to thieves. Park in an enclosed garage when you're at home, or under a motion light. Maybe consider installing motion detectors at your home. When you're parking out in public, look for high profile, lots of foot traffic. You want more eyes on your vehicle instead of parking in a dark place in the back lot, because thieves know that, you know, if nobody's looking at your vehicle, they have a better chance of getting away with this type of a crime.
Well, when this happened to my son, I thought of two things, and neither of them were very nice, but one was to put a bullhorn under there and blast him out of there somehow. Yeah. And the other was, would it be possible to put a camera under there? Because we know cameras are itty-bitty sometimes. And, but then again, you might only get an image of an arm.
Right.
So this seems like a very, very difficult thing. Commander, as you continue with your task force to kind of explore this thing and figure out exactly who's doing what to whom, where are you going with this? And you know, what do you want to tell people about the effort to try to help them not lose their catalytic converters? Even if there's insurance, it's a very expensive proposition. You go to the auto body shops, they'll tell you they're dealing with this stuff all day, every day, every week.
Absolutely. Our goal, again, is to protect the citizens of the state of California and make a difference. So what we're trying to do is target the receivers or on the back end. When these thieves steal the catalytic converters, it's hopefully taking away that market of buyers, so that hopefully it would help make a difference. And when people, as the panel member there indicated, anything they can do to mark catalytic converters, whether it be painting them or engraving them, I know the local police agencies do lots of public service workshops where you can bring in your vehicle to have it marked, and that way it would be easily identifiable if, when we run into these catalytic converters out in the field, we can have somebody to connect as the owner of this catalytic converter.
You know, I guess that the bottom line and the most important thing to take away from this conversation is that there's an agency dealing with it. Mm-hmm. There's the DMV and other associated agencies that are trying to crack down on this. And so there is an effort underway to do something about it. Commander, I want to thank you very much for joining us. Doug Shoup is going to be staying with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, have you noticed a lot of people out traveling? I mean, if you didn't travel last holiday weekend, you may have been in the minority. Looks like travel is exploding this summer in the air, on the roads, and on the water. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and we're welcoming back Doug Shoup of the Auto Club of Southern California. You know, last weekend, we saw impressive numbers out there when it comes to travel. Lots of cars, lots of people. Almost felt like we had gotten in front of the pandemic here.
Yeah, we were very close. In fact, we saw 3.4 million people in Southern California traveling last Independence Day weekend. And that was down only 1% from what we saw 4th of July 2019 before the pandemic began. But nationwide, nearly 51 million people traveled over that holiday weekend. And that actually surpassed the number that we saw before the pandemic.
How many more people this year than, say, last year?
Yeah, we saw about a 4% increase in the overall number of travelers this past holiday weekend. And, you know, the vast majority of those folks who took trips went by automobile, because traveling by car or truck is the most economical, it's the most convenient. But, you know, our travel advisors at the Auto Club are seeing international travel just skyrocketing right now. People want to get out there and see the world again, and that is why, you know, a lot of people are flying as well.
Well, you've got the cars for the short trips, you've got the passport issue with the long trips.
Yeah.
And that is an issue, and I want to talk about that for just a second, because I know AAA does an awful lot of things with regard to driver's licenses, DMV, yep, different things. You don't deal with passports, do you?
We actually do. Okay. And you can actually find passport services in our branch offices, particularly the Rush My Passport to get it quicker. But I'll tell you, even with the Rush My Passport, we're seeing delays of about 13 weeks.
So 13
weeks?
Like a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. So if you are planning an international trip, make sure you first check your passport to make sure that it's valid. And most a lot of countries require that that passport be valid for 6 months after your departure date from the U.S. So make sure you have enough time on that passport. If not, go ahead and get that renewed away.
That's been a big problem, even for some of my colleagues here at the station who are going overseas. So I know that's a big deal. But, you know, we see people not only on the roads. We see people not only going to amusement parks in Paris, for instance.
Yeah.
We also see people taking cruises. That's a big deal right now.
Oh, cruises. You know, cruise passengers are very loyal customers, and so they couldn't wait to get back out there on the high seas. And the cruise industry really stepped up a lot of the cleaning measures and the safety protocols to make passengers feel safe. So cruise ships are back to at capacity levels, and people are doing a lot of pre-booking. Also, our Auto Club travel advisors are seeing that Alaska cruises are extremely popular this summer. That's about the best time to go to Alaska.
And I just got back from one of those, and what I can tell you is that last year when I went on a cruise to Cabo, I felt almost more of an investigation about my health.
Yeah.
And showing the vaccination record. And this time, I didn't feel quite the same. It's like we've let our issues down, our parameters down. And, I was doing a story this past week here on the news where people told me as they were getting ready for July 4th, they were feeling much more comfortable. Mm-hmm. They were feeling a sense of relief that the dread was behind them.
Yes. Yeah, and there's also a sense of revenge travel that's taking place because people had to put plans on hold or cancel vacation plans over the last few years. They're just making up for it now. And some people actually saved money to spend on those big vacations. And our travel advisors are noticing a new trend. People are doing these bucket list trips, you know, these once-in-a-lifetime vacations, and they're doing so because they looked at what happened over the last 3 years and they've said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this trip with my family and my loved ones.
But some people have been disappointed because just look at this last week with the travel issues and the delays and the cancellations. What was that all about? Yeah. And we're not out of that yet, are we?
Well, you know, of course, anytime we have severe or bad weather that impacts one part of the country, it impacts flights all across the country. And unfortunately, that's what we saw. We saw bad weather coming at the absolute worst time, heading into the Independence Day weekend. We also saw some air traffic control shortages, and there were lots of flight delays and cancellations. As a general rule, moving forward, if you are planning to fly somewhere, it's always a good idea to book that very first flight out. Yes, it's hard to get up and get to the airport that early in the morning, but they are less prone to delays and cancellations.
So this is what passengers should do.
Absolutely. What passengers should do is look for those early morning first out flights. Book nonstop flights only if you can, because you don't want to be stranded in a layover city. Work with a reputable travel advisor who can be your advocate. Jump in right away and make changes to your itinerary if they need to. And finally, consider travel insurance. That is something that has become more and more popular since the pandemic began. But it's important to read the fine print so you know what that travel insurance will cover and
what it won't. But it's also possible you might have travel insurance through a credit card that you might have.
Absolutely.
That you may have booked the trip on. So it's important to check on that as well. What about prepping for a drive?
Yeah, well, you want to make sure that you inspect your vehicles during these warmer summer months in many parts of the country. Really, those hot pavement wreaks havoc on tires. Check your tire tread and your inflation. Make sure your fluid levels are topped off. Those fluid levels keep your vehicle cool. You also just want to do all of the maintenance to prevent a roadside breakdown. I'll tell you, over the last 4th of July weekend, AAA came to the roadside rescue of more than 393,000 stranded drivers across the country. So doing a little preventative maintenance on your vehicle will hopefully prevent that roadside breakdown.
Yeah, that puts a wrinkle in your vacation.
It does. Very dangerous. Yeah. You know, being on the side of a freeway is a very vulnerable place to be. You want to avoid that at all costs if you can.
All right. Doug Shoup, Auto Club of Southern California, thanks so much for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, as we've talked about travel, we've got to talk about the cars. trucks, and other vehicles. The automotive industry has been struggling for a few years, and so have those who want to buy a vehicle. We talked to an expert about whether it's time to buy yet, and if so, what to buy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Let's talk about vehicles. We've recently gone through some challenging years. The pandemic has left all of us with all kinds of problems, and the auto industry is not immune. Prices for new and used cars have been super high for quite a while, and some people have just been making their old cars limp along. Mike Cottle is a national transportation expert. He joins us now. He's in Nashville, actually. And tell me, what's going on with the world of vehicles?
Well, Hal, during the COVID, over 3 year span with COVID, what we saw was a chip shortage as a result of workers not being able to get into facilities, the location which chips come from, which is in northern part of Asia. And then on top of that, we had this deep freeze in Texas, which actually forced the companies that make resin, the manufacturing facilities that make resin for RVs, for vehicles, for boats to shut down. And so you have this cataclysmic situation where cars became scarce on dealership lots. They weren't able to put dealerships in a position of selling cars because the cars weren't available. Fast forward now today, chips are more available. The resin is in manufacturing facilities. People are back in dealerships and people are back in the manufacturing facilities. So cars are now more readily available for consumers to buy. You're seeing good prices now at dealerships nationwide.
Yeah, but we've been talking a little bit about cars around here. It does seem like some of them have gone up in price.
Oh, they've all gone up in price, Hal. And that's part of the democracy, I guess, that we live in, is that when vehicles are scarce, it allows dealers to mark vehicles up. But as I tell everyone that asks me about purchasing a vehicle, still use the methodology that you used before COVID. So negotiate that deal and you'll get the vehicle at the price that you want to pay. Know what the MSRP is on that vehicle. Do your research on Kelley Blue Book, Auto Trader, or any one of a number of online locations for you to find vehicles, and just do the work and then negotiate. Dealers will usually come down in price to sell you that vehicle.
So what kind of incentives are some of them offering?
Yeah, so right now across the board, you're seeing 0% financing start to make its way back onto dealership lots. One thing I tell consumers is don't feel like you need to buy at the dealership that is right around the block from your house. Go outside of the state, go outside of your county, go outside of your local community to find that vehicle so that you can get a great deal on it. But you're seeing 0%, you're seeing cash back at the purchase of a vehicle. Great incentives for consumers are available in the marketplace, but don't leave your house without doing the research first online.
Let's talk about used cars for a minute. What's that market like? Because I think I keep seeing a lot of advertising of, bring us your cars, we need more used cars, you know, and where are we in that market?
Yeah, so that's kind of the beauty in the buying market right now, is that the consumer inevitably makes the choice on what it is they want, whether they want an electric vehicle, whether they want a gas vehicle, whether they want new, or whether they want used. So let's talk about used vehicles for a segment. Dealers across the country are willing to buy your used vehicle to then move you into a new buy or a new lease on a vehicle. So it just makes sense that used vehicles are going to become more available as consumers now come out of COVID, they go back to work, they start making money again, they're going to want to buy a nicer vehicle. When they buy that nicer vehicle, it then puts more used vehicles on lots nationwide. And that's a great thing for consumers. It gives them more flexibility in what it is they want to buy.
You know, one of the things I learned once in buying a used car is good to get that one that says certified on it. Because
of
if
course.
You take something off the lot that has not been certified, you may be just driving a problem off the lot.
Yeah, so a certified pre-owned vehicle is a vehicle that usually has had more than 200 different inspections on that vehicle, meaning when it goes to the dealership, they run it through service, and the service team will then do a 200-point inspection on that vehicle to make sure that it's running in tip-top shape. And when they do that, they will then warranty that vehicle for you so that if you have any issues, they'll fix it for you.
Now, I'm not sure how things are in Tennessee, but I know here in Southern California and in California overall, a lot of emphasis on moving towards electric vehicles. I think by 2035 is what we're targeting here for a lot more of that stuff. So, you know, what are you seeing in the electric vehicle market?
Yeah, Hal, I was in Lake Tahoe just 5 days ago. Gas was sitting at $5.25 on North Shore. Here in Tennessee this morning, it's at $2.95. So definitely from the standpoint of gasoline, Tennessee, we still maintain relatively low gas prices. You're asking about electric vehicles. And here's what I can tell you. I divide electric vehicles down into four main categories. The vehicle itself, the infrastructure, the environment, and politics. So let's just start with the vehicles. Automakers have exceeded every single expectation with electric vehicles. I just test drove the 2023 Mercedes-Benz EQE with a 225 miles of range. This thing is just, it's so fast and so fun. 617 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds, but it's electric. Consumers are concerned about the second word, and that's the infrastructure. If you charge at home, it's relatively easy to own an electric vehicle. But if you want to do what I do, drive from Nashville to Atlanta, there are very few locations for me to charge that vehicle. So I have to then plan out my trip, which is really important. But we're getting there. So the Biden administration's put money behind creating a larger infrastructure, and we'll get to a point where it's more readily accessible for people to charge their vehicle. And I'll close just with the two others, politics and the environment. It would be really nice in the future if people stopped using the electric vehicle movement, if you will, as politics. They're just fun cars to drive. That's right. Purely it. They're a lot of fun. And then the environment, you're not really doing a lot with the environment with these vehicles. They are cleaner when they're in their final stage. But outside of that, you're still met unique manufacturing facilities and lithium ion rare earth metals to build the batteries.
Well, you know, we have a love affair with automobiles here in Southern California. And I guess we'll continue to have that love affair, and we'll see whether, you know, these cars continue to move forward to become more efficient and less expensive. Thanks so much. Good to talk to you, Mike Hoddle. And we'll be back with more Fox 11 News and Death right after this. If you want to hear an audio version of this program, just check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.